I know there are a lot of churches that go, hey, give and you're going to get back. And almost like it's a greed mentality in the church. And I would never, ever, ever want it to be that. Just be greedy for Jesus. Be greedy for your relationship with Him. And everything will flow from that. Whatever God has you do, you're going to do it joyfully. Not under constraint. Not under threatening. Not under condemnation. But it's just an outpouring. It's just a work of the Lord. It just flows out of the heart of people that love God.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 18 with a message titled, If the Lord Wills.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
They've got to own the Lord for themselves. You can go the hard way and go that way and hopefully eventually come to the realization this is a dead end. This is horrible. What am I doing? I've abandoned the God of my roots. Can go the hard way or you can go the easy way. Just follow Him and not have the scars of the world. I still have the scars of my past. You know, sometimes they just, in technicolor, they come into my mind. I hate it. When our mind's made up, when, you know, we don't want to investigate and see that what Jesus said is true, the Bible's true, we make it hard on ourselves. But Galileo, he doesn't want to even entertain what they're saying. He's saying, out, go. This is an interpersonal squabble between you guys. Get out of my court. Get out of my bema seat. Now, one of the sad things is Galileo, although we think, oh, he's a good guy. He didn't want to prosecute Paul. Well, the bad thing about that, he wasn't interested in Paul's message. He didn't inquire. You see, there's one thing about being an obnoxious sinner and coming against the gospel. And there's another thing about being an honorable, unsaved sinner. That would be Galileo. It's what he was. And the honorable, unsaved sinner, they're the hardest to reach. Those that are protesting, so angry, so against, obviously something's working on their heart. Something is working on their heart, and you find quite often that, you know, they give up and they give in to the Lord. Some don't, some do. But when you have the respectable sinner, the honorable, unsaved sinner, they're very hard to reach. And Paul, he was preaching the gift of eternal life, the fellowship with God. That was the message. That was the message that these that came before that bema seat were protesting. But Galileo didn't even inquire. He lets it pass by. Kind of the same idea, wasn't it, with Jesus and Pilate? Remember when Jesus brought before Pilate, who basically let Jesus be crucified? And Jesus said in John 18, 37, 38, "For this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Can you imagine Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, saying that to an individual? And what is Pilate? What's his response? He just says, "What is truth?" So cynical, so opposed. And Pilate goes down in history of being one of the worst of the worst because he knew Jesus was innocent, but he scourged him and he had him crucified anyway. You see, Paul would later write to the Corinthians the very thing he was doing there in Corinth, the very thing that they were protesting and dragging him before the judgment seat, the Bema seat. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was it. That was the message. The truth for forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. Galileo here and Paul's antagonists, they just rejected it. They didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to be, you know, didn't want to have that even in their mind to think about it. I don't want to disturb my comfort zone. One of the things about history, it talks about individuals like Galileo. In fact, H.A. Ironside, he writes with this man in mind, for as we trace his history, Galileo's history, in secular volumes, we find that at last he became a thoroughly disillusioned man who found that the world would not satisfy and who possibly committed suicide. It seems sad indeed that this well-meaning, amiable man, this gracious, kindly, philosophical Roman governor should have no interest in the gospel of God. But maybe it runs in the family. You know, maybe it runs in the family because his brother, Seneca, history shows that Seneca's influence over Nero declined with time, and Seneca was forced to take his own life for alleged complicity in a conspiracy to assassinate Nero, in which he was likely to be innocent. Under scrutiny, committing suicide, running in the family, sad end for those. But he goes on here, Paul. Now notice what happens when there are before the judgment seat. Now another fella, Sosthenes, who took over from Crispus, who got saved. Now a new ruler of the synagogue, it says in verse 17, "And they all took hold of Sosthenes, leader of the synagogue, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Galileo was not concerned about any of these things. Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria, and with him also Priscilla and Aquila." Remember the two man and wife, they were tent makers. Paul worked for them, and now they had a bond that, boy, incredible bond that took place there in Corinth. In Centuria, he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. Now, this guy Sosthenes being beaten by the mob indiscriminately taking whoever was handy, this new leader of the synagogue, and beating him. One of the things that we know about Sosthenes, maybe he needed a good beating to get saved. I mean, some of us do, maybe emotionally, who knows. But we find later that Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:1, he recognizes Sosthenes. Sosthenes got saved. I don't know if this beating had anything to do with it, or maybe it was just disillusioned by organized religion, or the fact that no justice here. I'm before the judgment seat, the Bema seat, and not getting justice. We don't know why, but it looks like he turned his life over to the Lord. But now we find that Paul, in verse 18, he heads home. He heads home by ship, by way of Centuria, that was the port there in Corinth. And then he goes to Ephesus and then to Caesarea by the sea. And then he greets the leaders there in Jerusalem and then to his home church there in Antioch. That's, that's the end of the second missionary journey. And then in verse 23, we find the third missionary journey. But let's finish off here, ending that second missionary journey, sailing home. But first, notice what he does in Centuria. Kind of an interesting thing. He takes a vow. He takes a vow. Keeping a vow. You see, it was a way of giving thanks to God for the blessings and the fruitfulness of his journeys, for his missionary endeavors. Now, was it a Nazirite vow? Some commentators say yes, some commentators say no, because they say, well, Paul wasn't a Nazirite. He didn't need to keep those Old Testament rules and regulations. Nazirite vow from Numbers chapter 6, the first 21 verses, that wasn't what Paul was all about. But think about it. Think about it. Paul showing gratitude to God for the many blessings on his missionary journeys, wouldn't it maybe simply be, remember when Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, how he dedicated himself completely as he cried out to the Lord when he was apprehended by God? He cried out, "What would you have me do, Lord?" Lord means master of my life, total dedication to the Lord. Maybe it wasn't an outward Nazirite vow, but certainly an inward Nazirite vow, because that's what the Nazirites would do. They're dedicating themselves, but often it would be an outward sign. They would grow their hair long. They would stay away from certain meats and fruits, no raisins or grapes, no wine, no dead things. But sometimes you can do an outward show, but the inward is horrible. You see, I think what Paul did is he did an inward dedication, which was like an outward Nazirite vow, pretty much like baptism. Not that baptism saves, the washing of filth from the flesh, but it's an appeal to God for a clear conscience, as the Bible says. So you see, it's first of all an inward work of God's Spirit in baptism, then that outward identifying with that inward work that's already happened. Maybe that's what Paul did. His inward work. Lord, what would you have me to do? And it was like a Nazirite vow. So now he's going to keep that outwardly because he had already done it inwardly. Or some will say it goes deeper than that. He was a Nazirite when he got saved as a Pharisee. He was a Nazirite when converted. And now he's unwilling to break that Nazirite vow, but fulfill it for the remaining length of time, because sometimes it could be for a short time, other times for a long time. And for Paul and Paul's thinking, he's thinking, if I violate this Nazirite vow that my Jewish brethren saw me take, it would be a stumbling block to the Jews I'm trying to reach. And they could say that Paul was unfaithful to the pledge that he took before he so-called got saved and left us for this other kind of religion. So possibly that's true as well. Doesn't necessarily say here, but I think it all has deep spiritual significance, because this vow, this idea of this vow, the Nazirite vow would be to grow your hair, just let it grow, as I mentioned. You'd stay away from things that were dead, wine and grapes and certain meats and that kind of thing. And then when you went up to Jerusalem, you would shave your head, that hair that was a dedication, and you'd burn it on the altar to the Lord. Now, Paul would do that, but he wouldn't bring a sacrifice because the sacrifice was already given through Jesus Christ. But he would take that hair and burn it on the altar. Remember, the Bible says that God knows every hair of our head. And so Paul is saying, Lord, every hair of my head is dedicated to you. That's the idea. So the vow, good thing, wonderful thing, just an appreciation of God's goodness and his grace in Paul's life. But one of the other things that, let me mention this, because by Galileo's side at the Bema seat, you'd have what were called lictors. Lictors, and these would be the officials who would have the official rods to drive away the Jews, you know, who were making a commotion at Galileo's say-so. So maybe they also joined in with this mob that was beating Sosthenes and so forth. But let us end off here in verse 19 to 22. And so Paul's, remember, he's on board ship with his two companions, with Aquila and Priscilla. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. So he left those folks. They became a big part of his ministry. And now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoning with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent, but taking leave of them and saying, I will return to you again if the Lord wills. He set sail from Ephesus, and when he had landed in Caesarea, he went up to greet the church that would be in Jerusalem and went down to Antioch. That would be his home church. Now, you know that in Ephesus, a significant ministry takes place, very significant. And in Ephesus, Paul is hurrying to get back home. He's hurrying to get back home. And you might say the Spirit, it was Spirit-led expediency. You see, God can slow us down or he can speed us up. It's according to his divine plan. Sometimes we need to move faster, we need to move quickly, we need to do it right now. Other times, hey, we just need to wait upon the Lord. Now's not the time. But you see, for the Ephesian synagogue and those that were getting saved, it was like, please stay, Paul. He stayed a year and a half in Corinth. Here in Ephesus, he leaves. He only stays for a short time. You see, but he says, if God wills, I'll come back. And God does will. He does go back on his third missionary journey. But one of the interesting characters, and we'll see this fellow next time, Apollos. Apollos is an interesting fellow. He appears on the scene when Paul goes to Ephesus. He also appears there in Corinth, and very skilled, very powerful, powerful preacher. Not a whole lot is said about him. But we will see him next time. Paul returns to his home church, and we like that. Returns to his home church where his missions effort started. Remember the first missions effort in chapter 13, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to. It was really Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to. And then the second time, it was Silas and Paul. And now we're going to find that he goes again in verse 23 of chapter 18. But when he went back, so excited about telling them about what God had done, how the Holy Spirit had opened the hearts of these Jews and also opened the hearts of these radical idol worshipers who had radical testimonies, and turning them from these dead images and these corrupt lifestyles and turning them on to the Lord, and their lives are just radically changed, and they're in relationship now with Jesus Christ, and they're waiting for the Son of God who's coming from heaven. You see, Paul writes that to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:7. So obviously, it's not just saved and twiddle your thumbs, but saved and you're waiting for the Lord. He can come at any time. And you know, in 2019, the Lord has come. He's come for some of our brothers and sisters. He's come for some of our loved ones. You know that. I know that. You see, we don't have any guarantee on life. The Bible says that God has written in his book all the days of our life. Your day is written there, and there's a time where the Lord says, this is the day I'm bringing him home to be with me. You see, that's the amazing thing. Or waiting for the rapture. Oh, we've been anticipating that. I've been anticipating that ever since I've been a Christian. Hasn't happened yet, but you know what is going to happen? Oh, it'll happen, all right. It's going to happen. I just don't know when it's going to happen. And I'm going to preach on New Year's Eve. I'm going to preach about how close Christ's coming is. It could be, the Bible says, in a time we think not. We expect to have our New Year's Eve service, but he could come before that. He can come in 2020. Are you ready in 2020? So we'll look at that. But you see, I think it's great that he shares, he lays out what the Lord did, and they share in the victories. There at the church, they share in the victories as they sent him out. Do you realize you that stay at home and pray for and support the ministries that go on in the church here, you're going to gain in the rewards that happen. I don't know how many people have gotten saved or been built up through K-Lite Radio, AM and FM. Not just here in Hawaii, but the apps go around the world where you can listen. I've heard of people listening to K-Lite Radio in African countries. I've heard them in England. I've heard in the mainland, in, you know, everywhere. And I think when we get in heaven and we see the rewards, we'll go, where'd all this come from, Lord? Well, you were supporting the ministry here, and this is what it did. Or the missionaries that are out there on the mission field, and those that they're ministering to, those that are getting saved and being raised up, and maybe starting new churches on the mission field as well. It's wonderful to see that. Because those that stay at home and they pray and they support financially those things, they share in the rewards. You see, David told us that. David, when he went up against the Amalekites, remember when Ziklag was burnt and all his families and everything was taken, and David tracked them down and he went against them, but all David's men couldn't go with him because they were too tired. So a good contingency stayed at home while the rest went, and not one of the people that were taken captive were harmed. He brought them all back. And as he came back home with the spoil and with the families and all, those that went out to battle said, hey, we're not going to share with you guys that stayed back home. We did all the work. You just stayed here. You just watched the stuff. You just watched the houses and the property here. We're not going to share with you. And David said, oh, no, guys, not at all. For as his share is who goes out to the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. So you keep praying, keep supporting the work of the ministry. And you find that I think the Bema seat, as Paul writes to the Corinthians of, great rewards are there waiting. But you know, I know there are a lot of churches that go, hey, give and you're going to get back. And almost like it's a greed mentality in the church. And I would never, ever, ever want it to be that. I would always want it to be, just be greedy for Jesus. Be greedy for your relationship with Him. And everything will flow from that. Whatever God has you do, you're going to do it joyfully. Not under constraint. Not under threatening. Not under condemnation. But it's just an outpouring. It's just a work of the Lord. It just flows out of the heart of people that love God.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 18, titled, If the Lord Wills. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 18. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.